Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm Pastor Doug Shimoda. This is the day of them also starting a brand new series, and it's called Overcoming Challenges. Overcoming the challenges that we normally face in life. I'm going to be talking in the next few series about things like overcoming stress in your life. How many of you struggle with stress, right? You know, or overcoming offenses in your life. Somebody hurts you, relational stress. I want to talk about that. Or about overcoming depression. I want to talk about overcoming lack in your life. How about overcoming the poverty spirit mentality that holds us back. So this is a great practical series that I'm going to be preaching about. So can you just bow your heads and let's ask God's blessing on this word. Thank you, Father, for this special day. I thank you that you gathered every single person to be here. I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to hear what your word says, that we would hear that message, take it to heart, practice it, and we see the power of that of the word of God being manifested in our life as we practically learn to obey your word, that it blesses us when we do that, and it glorifies you. Father, bless the word that's just preached today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'm going to talk to you about overcoming the challenges of the storm. Okay, and our text for it is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, starting at verse 22. So let's look at that story. Follow along with me. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon, a fierce storm. Can you say fierce storm? Let's see. Can you say that? Fierce storm came down on the lake. And the boat was filling with water. Now let me just stop there for a second. This version is NIV, and it says fierce storm. Another version might say mighty storm. But if you translate it into Greek, the word fierce or mighty storm, in the Greek, the best words to describe the storm would be mega seismic. This was a mega seismic storm. This boat with these disciples of Jesus, of course we knew they were seasoned fishermen and sailors, but they had never experienced a storm such as this. And as scripture says, and they were in real danger. And the scene was probably just like this picture depicts. The wind was probably howling like a demon. The waters were like a boiling cauldron, and the rigging and the mast was ready to be torn off, right? And it says they were in real danger. But the fact is, Jesus is the one who told them to cross the other side. He knew there was going to be a storm, yet he told them to get in the boat and to go. I see three things real obvious. 3 points right away. I see this. First one, don't always assume. God won't not always divert you around the storms of life. He won't always divert you around the storms of life. You cannot always avoid the storms of life. God does not incubate us from all the storms that happen in our lives. Following Jesus does not mean that you're not going to have problems or troubles. And this storm did not surprise God. And God's not surprised when there is a storm. In fact, next point, sometimes his will for you is that he leads you right into the middle of the storm. See, there's this idea among some Christians that When life gets messed up, when life gets chaotic, you got to find the quiet place. But I think it's, we need to realize that Jesus is not just in the quiet place, but he's also in the stormy places in our life, the windy places, the chaotic places in our life. He's there. And therefore, third thing, sometimes you cannot go where Jesus leads you unless you head right into the face of the storm. Right? Do you agree with me? Can you agree with me? Okay, good. Verses 24 and 25. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And then he asked them, now, to stop right there, go back to the last. Okay, so suddenly the storm was calm. The disciples were literally freaking out, right? And what do you think they were expecting Jesus to say to them? I think they, if I was one of the disciples, I would expect Jesus to jump up and say, "Whoa, mega storm, mega seismic. Man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Why didn't you wake me up sooner? I'm so sorry I put you through all this trauma. I'm sorry I put you into such great danger." You would have expected him to say that, right? We know that that's Jesus' nature. He's kind, he's compassionate. But what does the author say? What does Luke say? What was his reply? Go back to it. Then he asked him, "Where is your faith?" I think he kind of said that in a way that kind of expressed his consternation, or maybe a bit of frustration. You know, so I don't know why he said this in the way that he said this. Maybe it was because they were completely faithless. Or maybe it's because they had this, "It's over, we're done, we're going to die" mindset. Or maybe it was the fact that these disciples had been with him for quite a while now, and they knew he was no ordinary man, he was the Son of God. And yet they totally doubted him. But whatever the case, next point. Clearly, Jesus expected them to find faith in the middle of this storm. Amen? He expected them to find faith. Where's your faith? In other words, he was saying. The Bible says that Jesus took on flesh. He became like one of us. And he faced the challenge of every storm. Any kind of storm that we face today, he would have faced. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2:14, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity." Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." See, he knows what it's like to feel fear. You know, right now, we're living in the middle of storms. We got threats of terrorism, not across the world someplace in Europe, but right here in our homeland, right in our province, threats of terrorism. Our economy is getting rocked. We're seeing bankruptcies. We're seeing closures of long-standing businesses. You know, we're piling up debt by the billions, not the millions, billions. You know, our national debt right now is over $1 trillion. We're $1 trillion, $100 billion in debt right now, and it's just mounting. The U.S. debt is about 19 times greater than that. You know, and when you read the news, you see the racism that's developing in our country and in the U.S., and it's developing here. You know, we're in storms. We're in national storms, international storms. We've had fire storms, haven't we? We've had wind storms, and we've had personal storms. want to get honest with you. You know, about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I went through levels of anxiety I've never felt before. My faith was getting to an all-time low. And it was around circumstances around the church. I want to tell you, it was really tough. And my wife wasn't there. Nobody was there to help me. You know, yeah, it's okay, sir. Don't go away so long next time. No. Listen, our faith can be affected by storms. It can be affected just by the changes and circumstances that happen around us, right? God is the giver of faith. God gives faith to us. But it's my responsibility, you know, to build my faith. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be devoted to walking by faith. It's my responsibility, your responsibility, to build your faith. I have to be proactive in growing my faith, in summoning my faith when I need it, right? So the question is, with all the storms, national, international, unknowns, the questions, how do I practically summon my faith? How do I do that when I don't know what to do and there's no one else to help me? You know, about 2 weeks ago, God is so good, I started reading this book by Kevin Gerald. Great book. It's called Mind Monsters, Conquering Fear, Worry, Guilt, Other Negative Thoughts That Work Against You. And I was reading through this book and I came across this great faith acronym. And it was just so simple, but it really spoke to me, really helped me. This is a great tool to help me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about overcoming storms. This is a great tool. And I believe it'll help you. If it helped me, it'll help you. If Kevin is putting in at least two of his books, I think it's a helpful tool. So we're going to go through this tool, through this faith acronym. Is that okay? Take notes, write it down, memorize it. I believe it'll really help you when you're going through stresses and the storms of life, right? I remember Joel Osteen. He's one of my favorite preachers. I remember him talking about storms. He talks about storms a lot. He always says, you got to find your faith in the storm. How do you find your faith? Well, I'm going to show you how you find your faith. I think this helps us to find our faith. First, okay, ready for the first letter? F. Focus on the positive. Simple, isn't it? Focus on the positive instead of the negative. If you're going to have faith, you've got to focus on the positive. You know, we can so get fixed on bad news. We really get fixated on bad news, don't we? You know, and it's so easy to do that. And if you get obsessed with crisis and bad news, you literally miss out on the good things that God has for you. And you'll literally lose the peace of God in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your job. It'll affect you in every area of your life. Jesus said, the enemy comes. What does he come to do? To rob, to kill, and destroy. Rob, steal, destroy. You know what he's after? You know the first thing he's after in your life? He's after your faith. He's after your faith. He wants to steal your confidence. He wants to make you doubt. Three things. He wants to make you doubt that God is in control. He wants to make you doubt that God is with you. He wants to make you doubt that God is for you. He wants to make you doubt. Right? You know, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, read Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter. And it's full of people who were actually ordinary people who became heroes of faith because they found a way to remain positive in the middle of the storm and not freak out. Have you ever freaked out? I do that all the time. I've got to minimize the emotion sometimes, right? But today, I believe that God wants to stir something in us. He wants to shake something up in our life. You know, God is calling us to be strong. You and I are called in the hour of adversity to be strong in the Lord. Right? You know that old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Instead of getting backed up against the ropes and letting the devil beat your brains out, right? That we stand up and that we engage in the fight by addressing our fears, by focusing on the positive. Great place to begin, right? A. Letter A. Affirm. If you want to find your faith, affirm yourself. How do you affirm yourself? You know, it's by celebrating the fact that you are a born-again Christian and that you are not of this world. You know, the world does not think and act the way that we think as Christians. While the world is freaking out, we can have peace. Amen? This is a great time to be a Christian. This is a great time to be singing songs of joy. This is a great time to be celebrating your faith in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a great time. You know, there's a powerful old hymn. It was written in 1863 by a Baptist minister called, his name was Edward Mote. And the name of the title of that song is this: My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? Our hope is not grounded on any political party or any government or any other earthly power, is it? See, we need to get our roots deeper into our faith, don't we? We need to get closer to God. We need to love God more. We need to partner. We need to invest more of our time, our resources, our energies into the local church. Why? Because the local church is the hope of the world. It's our community of faith. It's where we raise our families up. The local church is one of the most precious things that you could ever have in your life. Amen? I love what King David said in Psalm 122, verse 1. He said, I was glad. I was glad. He didn't say, I was mad. Some people are mad when they have to go to church. Some people are sad when they have to go to church. But David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to church. My little grandkids, they jump up and down and say, we're going to church. Yay, church! You know, even during the middle of the week, I take my granddaughter, we come to a prayer meeting. Yay! You know, she doesn't want to leave. She loves church. She loves just being here. You know, I imagine God is doing something good. Imagine that He's doing something good. We all have an imagination. Let's use our imaginations to imagine the best, not the worst. Right? Instead of hunkering down in the bunker to protect our life and our time and our resources, let's realize that we are God's vessel. Vessels to be used for His purposes, for His glory. Right? We're not to save our life. Jesus said, give it away. Use it for my purposes. Listen to what 2 Timothy 2:21 says. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he's talking about the selfish purposes, our own self-centered purposes. He will be, if you get away from your purposes and get into God's purposes, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Amen? So let's talk positive. Let's get our faith imagination going. Let's imagine that God is working despite what we see, what the circumstances of life. Let's imagine that God is at work. He's at work in me. He's at work for me. He's working, that He's doing something good for me. Imagine. Use your imagination, right, to imagine that God is for you, that He's working for you, that He's not against you. Amen? T, trust God in everything. I love this proverb. I think we based our marriage on this proverb. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Like I said, our trust is not any political, economic, justice, any world system. All of these are shaky ground, but our trust is founded in our trust in Jesus Christ. Not just when times are good, but also when times get really difficult. To trust God. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, in every area of your life, submit it to Him, and He'll straighten it out. He will make your path straight. That's what he's saying here. H, last one. Hope for the best. Hope for the best rather than fear the worst. Faith and hope are not rational. They are not logical. They are not reasonable, are they? That's the cue for the baptism people to get into the tank. They're not reasonable. Faith and hope transcend logic and reason, right? Sometimes what we need to do is just say to ourselves, stop being so reasonable, right? Stop being so reasonable. Romans chapter 14, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and he became the father of many nations. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Say, good as dead. How old was he? 100 years old. Right? 100 years old. And God tells him, Abraham, you and Sarah, you're going to be parents. You're going to be kids. You're going to have millions and billions of kids and generations of kids. But you're going to have a kid. But he's 100 years old. You see Abraham coming up to Sarah. Sarah, get up, get up. Get up, Sarah. We're going to be parents. We're going to be kids. Are you crazy, Abraham? I could really go with this story, right? Yeah, we could.
Do it.
Do it. Beyond all hope, Abraham hoped. It looked like it was as good as dead. Sarah's womb was as good as dead, right? Yeah, but here in the next verse it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. And I love this scripture, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. How many promises are you taking out of the Bible and saying these promises are for me? Every promise written in the Bible is for you. You can claim that promise. You say, that's for me today, right? All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? Romans 14, verse 16 says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Now it says, not only to those who have the law, not the Old Testament people, but also those who have the faith that Abraham had. You have the faith of Abraham. The faith that God gave to Abraham is a faith that was passed on to you. Abraham, in the figure, in the historical scene, he's the father of our faith. He's the prototype of a true believer in Christ. Abraham had faith. You have faith, right? I'm going to go on. Okay. It's by walking by faith instead of sight. It's by trusting God to work in the middle of the storm. Amen? So keep moving forward and keep hoping for the absolute best. I'm going to finish off the story. Luke's Gospel, or Luke chapter 8, verse 27. Says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Those words, in fear, and that word amazement, means it's like their eyes were literally popping out of their heads. Their amazement and their astonishment was eye-popping, jaw-dropping amazement. Now, these disciples, but notice these disciples weren't so amazed that the storm had stopped or that their circumstances had changed. They were amazed at the man who changed and stopped those circumstances. Right? So this then is the answer to Christ's question when he asked them, where is your faith? When he asked those seasoned fishermen, sailors, their faith was not in the wind, it was not in the ship, It was not in their skill as sailors. It was in the one who stood up and commanded the winds and the waves to be still, and they obeyed him. Amen? Jesus may allow, he may allow, and he may even send storms and trials your way. But it's his beauty and it's his power that shine through our darkest storms. Amen? When I fell in love with my wife, Karen, it was about 35, 36 years ago, we decided to go and get our wedding rings. We went to Higa's Jewelry on 13th Street North. And I just remember standing in front of that counter and the jeweler standing behind, and we started looking at various rings. And each time that jeweler took out a ring, he wouldn't put it on the glass counter. What did he put it on? He put it on a black cloth. Why did he put it on the black cloth? You know why? Because that black cloth caused the beauty and the brilliance and the radiance of that diamond to literally pop out. Literally pop out. It's on your PowerPoint. Sometimes God allows the storms, the black cloud, to be there so that the brilliance of his son Jesus might pop out. Sometimes you wonder, why do I have to go through this? Why? Because God's intention that he's going to fill the whole earth with the glory of the Lord. How does he do that? Storms have the power to manifest the power and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when people see you going through the storms, when they see you going through that health scare, or the cancer, or the struggles with that wayward child, or the unemployment, or the stressful relationships. See, they don't get so amazed at your deliverance. They really get amazed at the one who delivered you and saw you through the storm. Amen? I want to tell you, he alone is worthy. He alone is God. Right? And he alone is so good to you and to me. Amen? I want us to make a declaration. I don't want you to stand up. Can you just make this declaration after me? Make it for yourself. Okay? It's a real quick, short declaration. Here's what I want you to see. I declare God is in control in my life. God is with me. God is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you believe that, give God a praise clap. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your glory, for your power, for your grace for us during every storm. You will bring us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Just keep your heads bowed for a minute. Maybe you're here today. I want to say today is your day. If you haven't done this, to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Today is your day to invite him into your heart. Today is your day to surrender your life to him and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if you've never done that, I want you to say this prayer. This very simple prayer. You can repeat it after me, but remember, when you're saying those words, God is going to hear those words. And something supernatural is going to happen. He's going to literally translate you from one kingdom into another state, from one spiritual state into another. It's called being born again. Okay? It's called salvation. It's called receiving the gift of eternal life. So that when you leave this earth, your destination is a place called the kingdom of heaven. Heaven. So if that's you, I want you to repeat these words. Jesus, I believe that you gave your life for me. I believe that you shed your blood for me on the cross. I ask you to forgive me of all the sins I've ever committed. Today, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You know, as you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to say, ask you, if you said that prayer for the very first time, will you please raise your hand so that I can see and acknowledge it? I invited Christ into my hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? See your little hand. Anyone else? Raise your hand. You received Christ. You invited him into your heart today. The ushers will come, and we have a special package for you. It's called the New Believers Package. Anyone else? I received Christ into my heart today. He's now my Lord and Savior. Raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of our service this morning.